Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, Parsha Shmos. The title of the shiur tonight is The Relationship Between Moshe and Aaron. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of the relationship, the initiation of the relationship between Moshe and Aaron as presented by the Torah. And we'll see some interesting insight into Moshe's personality versus Aaron's personality. So we're going to start with Shmos Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud. In source number one, it says as follows: "Vayomer Moshe el Ad Hashem bi Ad Hashem lo ish devarim anochi gam etmol gam meshalshom gam meaz davercha avdecha ki chavad pel chavad lashon anochi." So Hashem is trying to convince Moshe to take on the task of leading the Jews out of Egypt, out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe continuously keeps refusing the shlichus, and he says that I'm not able to, or I'm not a good speaker, I'm not an eloquent speaker. And he says that to Hashem, and Hashem is trying to convince him to go. And we're in Pasuk Yud Aleph, source number one. Vayomer Hashem elav misam pelo adam o miyasumi leim o chereish o pikeach o iver halo anochi ad Hashem. So Hashem says to Moshe, who creates a person's mouth and speech, and who can create a mute or a deaf? Who can create a person who's seeing or a person who's blind? I am Hashem. Meaning Moshe's fears that he's not going to be able to speak publicly or speak properly are really inappropriate, and Hashem's telling Moshe that, you know, Hashem controls everything, and he'll be able to control Moshe and allow Moshe to speak properly in front of Paro. So it says, "V'atol leich v'anochi ayein picha v'orisicha asher tadaber." And he says to Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, "Go, and I'll tell you what to say, and I'll be with you." So he says back, "Vayomer bi'adona yishlach na bi'atishlach." So Moshe's response is, "Send somebody else, basically. There, please send somebody else." Okay, and in Yudalit it says, "Vayichar af Hashem be Moshe, vayomer halo Aaron achicha levi adati, ki daber yidaber hu, v'gam hine hu yotzei likrasecha v'racha v'samach b'libo." It says Hashem that gets angry at Moshe for continuously refusing to take on this task. And he says that Aaron, he'll speak before Paro, and he's going to meet with you and he'll be happy. And Hashem says that you'll speak to him, and you'll place the words in his mouth, and I'll be with you and with him, and I'll tell you what to say. So Hashem says to Moshe that Aaron will be the speaker, and you'll be as a god to him. You'll be telling him what to say, and he'll be the public speaker. And that's the end of this component that we're going to analyze. So basically, to summarize the psukim that we're going to take up, in the psukim, Hashem tells Moshe that he should take on the shlichus of taking the Jews out and being the leader, and Moshe refuses. And once Moshe refuses, Hashem gets angry in Pasuk Yudalet, and he says that Aaron is going to be the speaker, and you're going to tell, and I'm going to tell you what to say, and you'll tell him. And that was the setup that they were going to have moving forward. So we see a couple interesting things in Pasuk Yudalet. Hashem gets angry at Moshe, but we also see that he explains to Moshe that Aaron's going to be happy. It says V'racha v'samach b'libo, that he'll be happy to meet with you and to take on this task. So let's look at Rashi over here. We'll try to understand what's going on. There's an interesting machlokes brought down in source number two. It's based on the Gemara in Zvachim, and it says like this: Vayichar Af Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha Omer Kol Charon Af Shebetorah Namar Bo Roshem. So whenever there's an anger in the Torah, there's always a consequence to the anger. V'zelo namar bo roshem. But with regard to the anger that Hashem had for Moshe in refusing to go to Paro on his own, there is no consequence. V'lo matzinu sheba onesh al yidei oso charon. We never see in the Torah that there's an onesh, that there's a punishment for Moshe's refusal to go. And this is a unique case in the Torah where there's an expression of charon, there's an expression of anger, but yet, there's no response, there's no consequence to the anger. So that's Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha. So in this situation, he's saying that even though Moshe refused to go, Hashem keeps saying to him, please go, and Moshe says no. And Hashem gets angry, but there's no consequence to that anger, to the anger of Hashem. But then he says, Amar lo Rav Yossi, af bezu namar bo roshem. Rav Yossi argues with Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, and he says, no, there was a consequence. It says, Halo Aaron achicha halevi. Aaron, your brother, the Levi, Shaya Asid Lios Levi Velo Kohen. Ultimately, the original plan was that Aaron was going to be the Levi and not a Kohen. Vakhuna Yisi Omer Latzeis Memcha, and Moshe was going to be the Kohen, and all Kahuna was going to come from Moshe. Me'ata lo yiachin. But from now, it's not going to be the case. Ella hu yiach Kohen ve'ata ha-Levi. So he'll be the Kohen, Aaron will be the Kohen, and you'll be the Levi. Shene'amar, U'Moshe isha lo kembanov yikaru al shevet ha-Levi. It says that Moshe's children were Levi'im, they were not Kohanim. So there's an interesting machlokas Rashi brings down, whether or not Moshe was punished in the situation for refusing to go to Paro. So the first opinion, Rav Yishuv ben Karcha, says that Moshe was not punished. Although Hashem gets angry at him, he wasn't punished for his refusal. And the second opinion holds, no, he was punished. And the punishment was that he lost his right to the kahuna. That really, the original plan was that Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen or the Kohen Gadol, and all of his children would be Kohanim. It would be Zerah Moshe. But instead, it turned to Aaron. Aaron got the kahuna as a result of this, as a result of Moshe's refusal. And this was the punishment, the consequence of the charon off of Hashem. So obviously the first question that we're going to try to explain in the shir is going to be, what's the basis for this machlokas, whether or not there was a consequence to the anger of Hashem towards Moshe for refusing the shlichos or not. And also, what's the nature of this consequence according to Rav Yossi? Why did Moshe lose the kahuna? So that's the second question. So we have to understand the machlokas. What kind of idea is it that there's a anger without a consequence? And what's the machlokas here? Whether Moshe deserved the consequence or not? And what is this consequence that he lost the kahuna? And then if you look in source number 2, at the bottom, it says, V'racha v'samach b'libo. Lo k'sha'ata sovar she'en makbid alecha sha'ata ol ledula. Moshe thought that Aaron was going to be upset, and he was going to be it was going to be contentious between the two of them. U'misham zocha Aaron le'edi achushen anasun aliv. And this is the reason why Aaron, the fact that Aaron was happy for Moshe, this is the reason why Aaron was zocha, was merited the choshen and the urim betumim. So the last point in Rashi is, not only did Moshe lose the kahuna and Aaron gain the kahuna, but because of the happiness that he felt for Moshe and the v'rach of v'samach b'libo, so he was also zocha, he merited the urim betumim. So what's the relationship between the happiness that Aaron felt for Moshe and the Urim Betumim? So that's another question. So just to summarize the questions that we're going to answer in the Shir, the questions are as follows. What's a machlokes in Rashi, based on the Gemara and Zvachim, whether there was a consequence to Moshe's refusal to take on the Shlichus, and Hashem's anger, was there a consequence to that anger? Or was there no consequence? Was there a consequence or was there not a consequence? And if there was a punishment, what is the reason that Moshe's punishment was such that he lost the kahuna and Aaron gained the kahuna? And finally, what's the relationship between the happiness that Aaron felt for Moshe, or he would feel for Moshe, and being zocha and meriting wearing the choshen with the Urim Betumim? What's the Urim Betumim in specific have to do with Moshe, with Aaron's happiness for Moshe? Okay, so those are all the questions. Okay, so let's go on. We're going to develop the idea a little bit. Each point we're just going to delve into, and then we'll get to one idea at the end, you know, one concept that I think unifies everything. So if you look in source number 3, Rashi in Zvachim, where the actual Machlokas is brought down, has a little bit of a different angle. So he says as follows, Kitnai, I didn't bring down the Gemara because it's identical to Rashi, but it says Kitnai, there's a machlokas tanaim if Moshe had a din of being a Kohen or not himself, but whether his kids were Kohanim, everyone holds that his kids were not Kohanim. And it says, Namar bo Rosham, Simen shel Charon hayasham pa'amim. So there are many instances in the Torah where there's a sign of the anger, there's a consequence, a symbol of the anger of God after the anger is expressed. Pa'amim hakah, sorry, sometimes it's hakah, it's like a makah, it's a plague. Pa'amim nazifa, sometimes it's rebuking. Pa'amim klala v'gidav. Sometimes after there's anger, there's a curse. Va'ichar af Shaul k'siv basrei ben navas amardus. Va'ichar af Elihu lo rabim yichachmu. Va'ichar af Yaakov Rachel asachas elokim lashon nezifu. So these are all examples where there's anger. It's not just anger from God, but whenever there's anger in the Torah, even if it's anger of one person against another person, there's always another pasuk that expresses the anger. There's always a verbalization of that anger or some type of expression afterwards. But here, it just says, Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe, and there's no expression or no consequence, nothing further beyond that. So Rashi just explains that this is a unique situation. So what is the uniqueness of the situation, that there's no consequence? But then he says one other thing, one other point to to try to add to our questions, but also give us some insight. It says, Alo Aaron Achicha, Shayaroi Lios Lo, Levi, sorry, Shayaroi Lios Levi, Yadati Ki Daberi Daberhu, Misham Zachalakuna. He says that really Aaron was supposed to be a Levi, but because he's going to speak before Paro, so therefore, and also speak to the nation, therefore he was Zacha to the Kahuna, to be the Kohen. So Rashi over here says something different than Rashi before. Rashi before said that Moshe was supposed to be the Kohen and he lost it. And that was the consequence of Moshe, of the Charon Af, of the anger that Hashem expressed towards Moshe. But here in this Rashi, it's saying that Aaron was Zoche. Aaron merited the Kahuna because he's going to speak. He's going to be Kidaberi Daberhu. So it sounds like a little, it's not a contradiction, but it's a little interesting that in Rashi on the Torah, he doesn't mention the zechus of Aaron. He doesn't say that Aaron was zochet to the kuna. He says that Moshe lost it because he refused to go to Paro. But this Rashi in Zevachim is saying that Aaron merited it. It was a reward for Aaron. So which one was it? Was it a punishment for Moshe because of the fact that he refused to go on his own? Or was it a reward for Aaron because of the fact that Aaron was going to speak before Paro? So that's another question, a side question. Okay, so it's a similar theme, meaning what's the machlokas here, and why did Moshe lose the kuhuna, but also why did Aaron gain the kuhuna in Aaron accepting the position of being the speaker, the public speaker? So that's the question. Okay, so let's just, so one other point the Maharsha brings down on this idea of Charon, he says like this, he says, Kol Charon af shebetorah yesh bo rosham, so anytime there's anger in the Torah, there's always a symbol. Bal tzror hamor mefarish le'dafka b'charon af, shenichtav l'gabei Hashem. So the one opinion wants to say that the Bal tzror hamor wants to say that it's only by Hashem that this is referring to, that when Hashem expresses anger, there's always a follow-up. There's a rosham. V'chas of sham tam l'fi daito. He gives a reason, v'eino kein, but the Marsha says it's not the case. D'ha parach l'kaman mechari af d'gabei Moshe. It asks, the Gemara asks questions from other cases, and one of the questions they ask is that there was a charon off by Moshe, that there was no follow-up. Ustama karmar, and just saying stam, in general, kol charon off shebetorah, anytime there's any expression of anger written in the Torah, there's always a follow-up. There's always a consequence, something that follows. V'anir lefarish, dekama charon ksivi betorah, uvikatsa, uviktsasam hosif bahem. So there's a lot of charon in the Torah, and in many of them, in some of them, it continues. Lomar afshu remez al rosham sheba acharav. There's a hint to the consequence. Bekrahein shiye harosham emaisa sheacharav. Usually the pasuk after it says charon usually explains what the consequence is. Kigon v'chara pi v'harakti, as it says, and I got angry and then I killed. That's a consequence of the anger, the killing. V'chara pi bahem v'gomer hein shiye harosham acharav b'dibur shalka. Sometimes the Torah will verbalize the anger right after it says Charon Af. Kimo Vayichar Af Yaakov Rachel. It says that Yaakov got angry at Rachel, and then he says Hasachas Elokim Anochi. The Hasachas Elokim Anochi is the Rosham. That's the symbol or the sign of the anger coming out, the expression of anger. But here there was no expression of anger by Hashem vis-a-vis or towards Moshe. VeKamohu. There's a lot of examples. Vayichar Af Balak. Vayichar Af Elihu. V'chein Mashma Meperish Rashi. V'chein Mashma LeKamon. The dibur shel kasa bo acharav nikrei shapir rosham. If the Torah verbalizes the anger, if it doesn't have to say that Hashem got angry and then he killed, but if it says there's anger and then it expresses it verbally, like Yaakov says to, let's say for example Rachel asachas elokimani, that's considered a consequence or an expression of the anger. Rosham is like an expression. To kamar vaksiv ayitzi Moshe b'chari af v'lo amar le'midi aval kan kamar rav Yoshua ben Karcha d'lo huskar klal rosham acharav. Bain b'dibor, bain b'maisa. But in this situation, there's a uniqueness to our case where there was no consequence at all. There was no follow-up to the anger. So again, we have to understand, aside from understanding the machlokes in Rashi between whether there was a consequence or not, what is this? What is the idea of an expression of anger without a consequence, without an effect, without a follow-up? So how do we explain that? What's the value of that? What's the purpose of that? Okay, so we're just So I'm just going through some of these ideas just to kind of clarify some of the questions that we have. And hopefully with all those questions, we'll come up with more insight. But again, the questions are the same. It's what's a machlokas? And this idea of rosham is uniqueness in the Torah, where there's a rosh, there's a charon without a symbol or without an expression of anger. So what is that? What does that mean when God is angry, but there's sorry, there's no psukim that express that anger. What kind of idea is that? What's the purpose of that anger? And furthermore, what was the idea, the other possibility, that there was a consequence and Moshe lost it? Did Moshe lose it or did Aaron gain it? So just to add to the questions, look in source number 5. The question is, Vayamashal Moshe Eved Hashem Be'aretz Moav Al Pi Hashem. So Moshe, one of the key characteristics of Moshe's personality is that he was an Eved Hashem. And in the end of his life, it calls him Moshe Eved Hashem. And that's what a Kohen is. A Kohen is an Eved Hashem. He's an Oved in the Mikdash, and he serves God. So why did Moshe not, why wasn't he the Kohen? I mean, he certainly was the epitome of Avdus L'Hashem, of servitude to God. So he certainly should have been the Kohen. So why did Moshe lose the Kuna? Because he refused to take on the Shlichus. So if you look in the Ibn Ezra over there, he says, Vayamas Shal Moshe Eved Hashem, Shafilu Bemoso Asa Mashatzivo Ke'Eved. Even when Moshe was dying, he did exactly as God told him. Al Pi Hashem, Ki Hu Amar Lo Ola Umos, V'chein V'chasav Al Aron Al Pi Hashem, V'chein Al Pi Hashem Yachaneh. So whatever Hashem told him to do, he did. Even in his death, there was no resistance to Hashem. So you would think that Moshe would be the epitome of Kahuna, because a Kohen is an Eved Hashem, and Moshe was the Eved Hashem. So why did Moshe lose the idea of Kahuna from either from him or from his children? Why did he lose it for refusing to go? So those are the questions. Okay, one last point here, and then we'll get to the... We'll start answering the questions. So the Gemara in Shabbos says... The end of Rashi. It says, "V'amarav malai b'schar v'rocha v'samach b'libo zacha l'choshen amishbar alibo." It says that because of the happiness, and this is where we get into the idea of Aaron's relationship with Moshe. It says because Aaron felt happiness when he finally met up with Moshe after so many years, after Moshe was a baby, and Aaron saw him, you know, taken away, and we don't really hear of any of their relationship prior to this. So it says that when Aaron would see Moshe for the first time and Moshe would tell him about everything that happened to him, the sneh and the shlichus, that Aaron would be happy. It says because of his happiness, he was zocha to wearing the choshen and with the Urim v'Tumim. So if you look in Rashi over there, in source number 8, it says, Shekineged alev, the choshen would lie on the heart of the Kohen Gadol, Shaya Gadol mimenu, because Aaron was older than Moshe. V'kodim l'Moshe nigle shechin al Aaron. And Aaron even got nevuah before Moshe. K'dechsev ha'neglo niglesi al beis avicha v'nemr lo nevuah shel mitzrayim haksuva avel yamrubi. In Yechezkel, Yechezkel points out that Aaron was given nevuah before Moshe. When the Jews were suffering in Mitzrayim, Aaron was given nevuah. V'afal pichin lo niskane bo bezos. Even so, Aaron wasn't jealous of Moshe. The fact that Moshe was given this insight, these ideas, and he was the Shliach Hashem. So the idea of Rashi saying is that somehow there's a perfection that Aaron is expressing, that he was able to, that really he wasn't jealous of Moshe. He should have been jealous, or he should have been upset, because he really was Zocha to Nevuah before Moshe. But because he wasn't upset, that's why he merited the idea of the Choshen, and wearing the Choshen with the Urim v'Tumim. So what's the... Fine, this is a nice idea about Aaron, that he wasn't jealous of his brother, of Moshe. But what's the relationship between that and wearing the choshen in specific? So it's one thing to say that Aaron was zocha to the kahuna in general because he was going to be the speaker or because Moshe lost it. But there seems to be a specific relationship between the choshen hamishpat with the Urim v'Tumim on it and this idea that Aaron was happy for Moshe. So what is that? What's that relationship between the Choshen and the happiness of Aaron? What is the? How can we identify the perfection of Aaron that it would be connected to the zchus of wearing the Choshen? So that's another question. So finally, we'll get to the actual event itself. Let's see the event itself. In source number 9, it says, "As Vayomer Hashem el Aaron lech likras Moshe mibara vayelech vayif kesheu bahar lokim vayishak lo." Hashem says to Aaron to go meet up with Moshe in the Midbar, and Aaron follows Hashem's command, and he meets up with Moshe, and he kisses him. He gives him a big kiss. And it says, Vayaged Moshe l'Aaron, eis kol divrei Hashem asher shalacho, ve'eis kol ha'osos asher tivo. And Moshe told Aaron about the sneh and all the osos, all the great miracles, wondrous things that he was supposed to present to the Jews to prove that he's a Shliach Hashem. It says, "Vayelech Moshe v'Aaron v'yasvu es kol ziknei b'nei Yisrael." So Moshe and Aaron went together, and they gathered up the zakenim. So as Hashem predicted to Moshe, it came true. Hashem says in source number one that Aaron's going to come greet you, v'rach avasamach b'libo. And it says in the actual psukim, later on in Chaf Zayin that we just read, that Aaron, he greets Moshe, and he gives him a big kiss, and he's happy to see him, and he goes along with Moshe to gather up the Zakenim. They're right on the same page. Okay, so let's look at the Medrash on this, the Psiksa Zutrasa on this Pasuk. And again, he points out the Urim Betumim. Look in source number 10. He gives us a little more insight, and then we can start answering. So it says in source number 10, Vayelech Vayifkesheu Bahar Elokim Vayishaklo. It says that Aaron kissed Moshe. Belev Tov Isameach. He was very happy. He was completely happy of Moshe, for Moshe. He wasn't at all jealous. Ke'inyan Shneamar V'racha V'samach B'libo Yoser Sameach B'libo Mimasha Haralo. He was even more happy internally than what he expressed to Moshe. So he was completely elated that Moshe was given this task and these ideas and this insight. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halev Shesamach B'gdulas Achiv Yilbash Ur Metumim. The heart that is happy in his brother's ascension to greatness should be the one to wear the Urim Betumim. Shenamar Vaya Aliv Aaron. It says that the Urim Betumim were on the heart of Aaron. Husha Amar Lamala Shlach Nabi Atishlach. And it says above that Moshe said that he shouldn't be the one to go. Send somebody else. V'chisal al daidcha Shemoshe Rabbeinu Masari Val Divrei Kono. Would you think that Moshe was actually refusing? Ella Amar Heichani Nichnas B'Madrigaso Shel Achi. So Moshe thought that it would be inappropriate for him to take on this role instead of his brother. Because Moshe knew that Aaron was a Navi beforehand. And it's mentioned to Eli HaKohen that Hashem revealed himself to Aaron prior to Moshe. So the Medrash points out that it was that part of the resistance of Moshe to going alone was that he didn't want to overstep his relationship with his brother, and he didn't want to offend his brother. And the idea is that Aaron wasn't offended at all. He loved Moshe, and even though he hadn't seen him for many years since he had been weaned, but nevertheless he was very happy for Moshe. So, and because of that, again, the Medrash says that he was zocha to the Urim Betumim, to having the Choshen with the Urim Betumim, which were the different stones on his chest, near his heart. So what exactly is that zechus? What is that merit? What's that perfection? Okay, so those are all the questions in the shir. So let me just summarize the questions one more time, and then we'll start answering them. So the questions are as follows. We saw in Rashi, in the second source, that there's a machlokas when Moshe refuses to take on the shlichus, when Hashem gets angry. It says, Vayichar af Hashem. There's a machlokas whether there was a consequence to the anger of Hashem or not. And one side holds that there was no consequence, and that's a really interesting idea that we have to explain. The concept that there's an anger being expressed by God, but there's no consequence. So what's the purpose of that anger? And the other side holds there was a consequence, and the consequence was that Moshe lost the kahuna and it was given to Aaron. So what is the machlokas here? Whether there was an effect or not, an expression of the anger, and why did Moshe lose the kahuna? He was the Eved Hashem, so he shouldn't have lost the kahuna. And then furthermore, Rashi says that Aaron gained the kahuna. So was it that Moshe lost it or Aaron gained it? And the last point is that the fact that Aaron was so happy to see his brother, to see Moshe, was he merited, because of that perfection, the idea of the Choshen and the Ephod, and the Urim Betumim. So what is the relationship between the happiness that Aaron felt for his brother and the Urim Betumim? So those are all the questions. So to answer, so we'll start with the first idea. The first point in the Shira was what's the uniqueness of an anger that has no expression, that has no effect. So I was thinking about a Rambam that I remembered from years ago, and I thought it was just an insight, an opening into maybe giving a svara, a possibility as to how to explain the machlokas and this idea. So if you look in source number 11, it's the Rambam, it's Hilchos Deos Perek Beis, and the Rambam says that a person's always supposed to be in the middle path in terms of his emotions and his characteristics, his personality traits, but there are certain characteristics that he's supposed to go to an extreme on, and one of them is kas, and the other one is gaiva, ego. He's supposed to be shval ruach. So anger is one where a person's supposed to go really far to the other extreme. He's not supposed to be angry at all. So the Rambam says in source number 11 in Hilchos Deos Perek Beis, he says V'chein akas mida rahi ad lema'od. So anger is a really bad character trait. V'roi l'adam shi'israchik mimena ad akata acher. Really, it's appropriate for individuals to go to the opposite extreme of anger, to be completely, completely in control. V'yilmar atzmo shel yichus. You have to train yourself to not get angry. Even on things that it's appropriate to be angry for internally. Sometimes you have to act like you're angry. Sometimes it's important to act like you're angry in order to get people to, you know, to come back, to in order to do the good, to do what's right. Because people respond to anger, k'deli yastrom, in order to give them mussar. It's like you have to be an actor sometimes, and even though it's kas is the type of emotion, anger is an emotion that you're supposed to avoid and be at the opposite extreme. But sometimes you have to pretend like you're angry, like an excellent actor, in order that you benefit the person that you're angry towards. So why did I think of this Rambam? So I was thinking that the idea of anger without a consequence is similar to this concept. Although God doesn't have any emotions, but this concept is where there's no real internal anger. You're not really upset when you see something in somebody else. You're not really upset internally, but you have to express anger. There's a benefit to expressing the anger. So maybe what the Torah is saying over here is that Moshe, when Moshe refuses to take on the shlichus, it was really a sign of Moshe's greatness, of his perfection, and the fact that he was such a great anav. He was very modest, and he didn't really think that he was appropriate. So the charon af that God is expressing isn't really an imperfection on the part of Moshe. There was no imperfection here. Moshe was acting in line with a perfected personality trait of anivus. So how could God really get angry at him? So on the one hand, God had to express his anger to Moshe in order to help him, in order to perfect him, or in order to get him to go. But on the other hand, there was no real consequence, meaning Moshe, there was no imperfection here. This was really the sign of a perfected individual, a great individual. So one side, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, I think it was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, yeah, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha, he holds that really this was a unique situation where there's anger just for the sake of helping the person, of perfecting the person, or getting the person to a higher level, but not in response to an imperfection. And Moshe wasn't expressing an imperfection here by not wanting to go. It's the opposite. He was expressing a perfection. So even though the anger is being expressed to Moshe, or Moshe's perceiving anger, there was nothing behind it. Meaning Moshe didn't deserve it. He wasn't imperfect. This was a perfection. It was just anger in order to get him to do something else, in order to bring him to a higher level. So that's one side. So one side saying that this was a unique case where there's an anger verbalized by a Kadosh Baruch Hu and expressed through Hashgacha, but it was like an empty anger. It was the anger that a person, like the Rambam says in source number 11, where you're supposed to act angry, but you don't really feel angry. So the point is that here there was an expression of anger, but there really, Moshe didn't warrant the anger or the consequence, because he was really acting in line with his personality of anivus, which was a perfection on the part of Moshe. So that's one side. So one side holds that Moshe was really he was really proper in this situation, and refusing to go was really a sign of his anivus. And the anger that God's expressing isn't really because Moshe deserved it or because he's imperfect. It's rather to benefit Moshe simply as a means of improving him or getting him to a higher level. But the other side holds that there was an imperfection here that Moshe is expressing. And that's why the other side holds that there was a roshem, there was an effect on Moshe, and the effect was that he lost the kahuna. And then the other Rashi says that Aaron gained the kahuna. So what exactly is that consequence? What was the imperfection of Moshe, and why did Aaron gain the kahuna? Because he was going to be the speaker, the public speaker for Klal Yisrael and for Moshe, and for God, for Hashem. So with this idea, I was thinking about look at source number 12. There's a halacha by the Kohen Gadol. It says Kohen Gadol tzarech shiach gadol mikol echav hakohanim benoi bekoach beosher bechachma v'mara. So Kohen Gadol the Kohen Gadol himself has to be the greatest amongst his brethren in looks. He has to be really good looking and strength. He has to be the strongest, wealthiest, smartest, and noy is like pleasantness, and mara is actually, and mara is the idea of the way he looks. He has to be good looking. Ein lo mamon kol kohanim nosin lo mishalahen kol echad lefi asher achi yashu yosir asher shibakulan. Let's say the Kohen has all these characteristics, but he's not the wealthiest. All the other Kohanim have to give him money to make him the wealthiest of the Kohanim. So there's an idea of the Kohen Gadol and Kohanim in general, but the Kohen Gadol, that he's supposed to appear a certain way, not just have all these signs of greatness and leadership, and he's supposed to be the Chacham, and he's supposed to be good looking and be wealthy and all these things. It's important for the Kohen Gadol to appear a certain way and to look a certain way and to have qualities that a monarch would have, that a king would have, a leader. It's an essential idea in the Kohen Gadol, and also Kohanim too. There's an idea that a Baal Mum, a Kohen that has a defect, a physical defect, isn't allowed to work in the Mikdash. And the reason is, I think the Rambam says, the reason is because the Kohen Gadol was supposed to, and the Kohanim were supposed to draw the emotions of people into God, into studying God in Yiras Hashem through Mikdash. And the Mikdash was an awe-inspiring place. And the Kohanim, therefore, couldn't have any defects, because if a Kohen had a defect, a Mum, it would take away from the inspiration that a person would feel when going into the Mikdash. But the Kohen Gadol has to, even more so, the Kohen Gadol has to be a person that people look at and they're drawn to emotionally, and they see him and they feel a complete wonderment when they see him. So that's an important quality to the Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. So what's the imperfection of Moshe? The imperfection of Moshe sounds like, according to this idea, this possibility, is that Moshe was unable to appear like an authority. He didn't want, meaning Moshe's imperfection was, on the one hand, he didn't feel as he was that he was really an authority. He was a shval ruach, so he was lowly of spirit, but it was a perfection he was unof, and he recognized that God is the ultimate authority and man is really nothing, and that was really ingrained in Moshe's psyche and in Moshe's mind. But he wasn't able to act, or he wasn't able to present himself as this figure, as the figure of the Kohen Gadol. He wasn't able to present himself as an authority. And when speaking to Paro, it was necessary to present yourself as an authority, as a leader. And Moshe had no interest in that, and he wasn't able to overcome that. So the question is, but Aaron was able to. It says, "Va'aron yidaberi daber hu." Aaron was the speaker. He was the individual who was able to present himself as an authority, as the spokesperson for the Jewish people and for Hashem. So the question, the machlokes in Rashi, is whether or not Moshe's inability to present himself in this way was an imperfection, or it was just a natural quality of Moshe's anivus. So one side's going to say, the first side's going to say that Moshe was an anav, he was modest, and part of his modesty and his extreme modesty was that he couldn't lie, he couldn't fake it. That this was who he was. He recognized that God is the ultimate authority. God can do, God is perfect. God can do everything. And he's really, in the scheme of things, he's really expendable. But, and he wasn't able to present himself as this figure that the Kohen Gadol, like I said, showed you in the Rambam, is presenting. Whereas Aaron was capable of doing that, and Aaron was. But the other side holds that it was actually an imperfection, that Moshe should have been able to overcome this was something that prevented him from speaking to Paro, and he should have been able to overcome it. And the fact that he wasn't able to overcome it, and Aaron's ability to take on that role, that's why Aaron was zochet to the kuhuna. Because Aaron was capable of expressing this appearance of authority, this appearance of leadership, whereas Moshe wasn't. And in fact, we see this later on, because after the Cheda Ego, Moshe separates himself from the Jews, and he moves his tent away. So Moshe was a leader, but he was kind of more of a, I would say, reclusive leader, not in a negative way, but he wasn't like a figurehead. Whereas the Kohen Gadol, there's a benefit to being a figurehead, where people are drawn into you, and those emotions can be used or utilized in the idea of Mikdash and the idea of Yiras Hashem. So Moshe wasn't capable of doing that. So that's a machlokas. The machlokas was Moshe's modesty, was his anivus in this situation warranted, and God's just presenting anger to allow him to move to a higher level, but really there was no imperfection, or was an imperfection on the part of Moshe that he was incapable of taking on this role as a figurehead And Aaron was capable, and therefore he was zochet to the kahuna. But what's this last point? The last point was the Urim Tumim. What's the idea of the Urim Tumim? So the Torah to me, well, why was Aaron zochet and specific to the Urim Tumim? Because of the happiness that he felt for Moshe when he saw Moshe for the first time and in a long time, and Moshe told him about this task to take the Jews out. So the Torah Tamima in source number 13, he says, Nir lefarish tam shaychus gemul zeh lezuchus simcha zu. So he says that what's the connection between the good of wearing the Urim Tumim and the simcha that he felt? Ki masha gadol zuchuso bezeh hum epnei shlo kana b'Moshe. It's because he wasn't jealous of Moshe. She'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hu shiyelo le'elokim, afal pisha Moshe tsar mimenu liyomim. Hashem says that Moshe is going to be a god to Aaron. Moshe is going to instruct Aaron, and Aaron's going to be completely, you know, underneath him. But Aaron wasn't jealous. And therefore, Aaron was zoche to the choshen, which had the Urim Tumim, and through it, it created judgment. V'ashofet nikra elokim, and the shofet, the judge, is also called elokim. Kefishis bar beparshas mishpatim. V'pasuk v'nikra balabais elokim. Elokim lo sekalel. V'areze tashlo mida k'neged mida. It's a mida k'neged mida that Aaron was capable of accepting the fact that Moshe was going to be above him, almost like a god, and therefore he was able to be a shofet. The Urim Tumim functioned as a... I'm going to explain what this means, but the Urim Tumim, he was a shofet, he was a judge, and a judge is called Elokim, so that's why there's a connection between the two. But it still is a loose connection. So what's the idea here? What's the concept? So again, just one last point. So the Rambam, I'm bringing in the Rambam, but this is the Gemara. The Rambam explains how the Urim Tumim used to work. So the Urim Tumim, they would ask the Kohen, look at the Rambam in source number 14. It says, Asu b'vai sheni Urim Tumim k'dei lahashlam shmona begadim. So they made a fake Urim Tumim, real Urim Tumim, but they didn't work in the second Beis HaMikdash. There wasn't the same level of Ruach HaKodesh, of Nevuah, that existed in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. So a Kohen has to be in contact with Hashem in order for him, the Kohen Gadol, to be asked questions of the Urim Tumim. Okay, so what are they? V'chetzad sholin, how do you ask? Omed HaKohen, the Kohen stands up, upanav lefnei Aaron, and he faces the Aaron, v'ashol ma'acharav, and the person asking the question stands behind the Kohen. Panav la'acharei HaKohen, v'omer ha'shoel ele o lo ele. So the person should ask the Kohen, should I go up or not go up? V'eno shoel b'kol ram, shouldn't ask too loud, v'lo mahar b'libo, and he has to verbalize it. Ele b'kol namach k'mishim espalo b'eno levein atzmo. The questioner has to ask in a low voice, as if he's davening. So the Kohen gets Ruach HaKodesh, and he looks at the Urim Tumim. Then he sees the letters pop up from the Urim Tumim, and he'll give him the answer of go up or not. So the Kohen will answer, go up or don't go up. So the Kohen, when he was asked the question with the Urim Tumim, he was almost like a Navi. And he would look at the Urim Tumim, these colored stones, and there were different letters for the different Shvatim on the colored stones, and different letters would pop up to give the Kohen the answer through this framework of Nevuah. And that's how the Kohen would answer questions to the people who asked him questions. They would ask him whether they should go out to war. That was one of the questions they would ask the Urim Tumim, and the Kohen Gadol would answer in this way. So what is the relationship between Aaron Simcha and the Urim Tumim? So I think the idea of Aaron Simcha was that, on the one hand, we said that Aaron was able to appear like a figurehead. He could appear authoritative. But on the other hand, deep down inside, internally, he was able to completely sublimate himself and really place himself underneath another authority. And if you look in, look at how he responds to Moshe, Varocha v'samach b'libo, the Torah Tamima says that Aaron was capable of accepting completely, wholeheartedly, the idea that Moshe was above him, and that Moshe was going to command him and tell him what to do. And he was completely, there was no resistance at all. There was a simcha there. So the idea of the Urim Tumim is that in order for the Kohen Gadol to be the appropriate individual to wear the Urim Tumim, He has to, on the one hand, appear a certain way. He has to appear authoritative, but he has to be able to place himself under the authority of somebody else. He can't internally feel like he's a complete authority. He has to be able to take or fit himself under the authority of somebody else for the good or for the benefit of him and for the mission. And that's what Aaron was expressing. Aaron was expressing when he first met with Moshe that he had no resistance to accepting Moshe's authority over him. And so that's why he was zochet to the Urim Tumim, because the Urim Tumim, people would ask him questions. They would ask him whether they were supposed to go to war or not, or they should go to a certain place or not. And he was supposed to be the person who answers, but on the other hand, he really wasn't the person to answer. It was really God answering. So Aaron was able to create that dichotomy. On the one hand, he appeared like an authority, but on the other hand, internally, he didn't really believe it. He was capable of placing himself under the authority of somebody else. It wasn't, the internal idea of authority wasn't essential to him. He was able to be under the authority of another existence, of God. So that's the idea of the Urim Tumim, that by the Urim Tumim, in order to answer these questions and get Ruach HaKodesh, you have to be able to completely put yourself underneath the authority of God and accept the authority of God. And Aaron was able to do that. So that's the idea of the Schus of Aaron, that he was Sameach for his brother. He had no resistance for Moshe. He loved Moshe, and he was able to completely accept completely accept his role relative to Moshe for the good of the mission. So that was the perfection there. Okay, so that's the idea of the shir. Let me just summarize briefly. So basically, the questions in the shir were tied to this Rashi based on the Gemara on how we understood the charon af of Hashem, the anger of Hashem towards Moshe for refusing to take on the role, the leadership on his own, and whether or not there was a consequence or not. And if there was a consequence, it was the loss of the kahuna. And somehow Aaron was zoche also, in addition, because of the simcha that he felt towards his brother, he was zoche to wearing the Urim Tumim. So how do we explain all that? So we basically said that the question was Moshe acting in line with a perfected ideal, the idea of anivus, and the charon af was almost a fake type of anger. It was an anger that was expressed superficially to Moshe, but it wasn't that Moshe warranted it. The Moshe wasn't expressing an imperfection here. Or was there an imperfection? And then we said, if there was an imperfection, what would it be? So it's the fact that Moshe wasn't able to present himself as an authority. He just wasn't able to. Because of his knowledge, his level of knowledge, and his idea of himself relative to God. And because of that, he wasn't able to even fake it or present himself as an authority, but Aaron was capable of doing that. So because of that, Aaron was zochet to the kuna, and Moshe lost it. But then we said, furthermore, even though Aaron was able to present himself as an authority, he was also able to place himself wholeheartedly without any resistance under the authority of another existence, another being. In our situation, Moshe, but by the Urim Tumim, in order to be the person who answers the questions with the Urim Tumim, you have to be in a state of nevuah, and you have to be a person, an individual, who's capable of not giving in to the feeling or the sense that you are an authority per se, and being able to place yourself under the authority of somebody else, or under the authority of God. So Aaron, in his simcha, his internal simcha, he was able to express his ability to do that, his ability to accept that the existence or the superiority of Moshe over him. But he was able to accept it with simcha, and he had no resistance towards that. And because of that, he was zoche to the Choshen and the Urim Tumim. All right, so everyone, thank you. Thank you, and have a good show. Yes. Question?
Maybe you could say that he's accepting his